10 minutes. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, now Brother Titus told us we go from theology to doxology, and now we go to unity and service. Therefore, by the mercies of God, verses 1 and 2 of Romans 12, 1 and 2, are transitional to the first 11 chapters of Romans about the mercies of God. Paul has been unpacking mercy from chapter 1 to chapter 11. And now these two verses are transitional to the rest of the book, which concerns obedience to God. So he says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Bodies, plural, sacrifice, singular. Now, why is that? Because we're to make one corporate sacrifice together, unified to the glory of God, as we bring our bodies into the service of God. And then we start to fulfill 20-plus commands in Romans 12 alone. I lost count of the number of commands. There are over 20 commands just in one chapter. And so Paul says, based on theology and doxology, now we move with our bodies, plural, into a singular heritage living sacrifice that displays something of the mercies of God to the culture that we live into. What are you doing with your bodies, beloved? Paul appeals to the will of man. He says, you present your body. So he's appealing to your affections, your will, your choices, your inclinations, your desires. What do you do with your bodies? Do you engage your bodies into the service of God as a living sacrifice, singular? Are you seeking and pursuing the unity of the Spirit in the body through acts of love and service that we find in Romans chapter 12 and the rest of this book? You see, you're going to do with your bodies what you want to do with them, right? That's where transformation is necessary. So Paul says, don't be conformed to this age, this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds so that you can prove the will of God. If we don't prove the will of God, then we'll never engage ourselves in the service of God and His will. What does that mean? To be conformed to the world, to the spirit of this age, is to take your body and to pursue in life what you want to do with that body. And Paul said, you've been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So God's aim is you take your body, which is the housing of your soul, and that whole person is to engage in the service of God rather than be shaped and fashioned according to the spirit of this age. Ephesians 2:2, the prince of the power of the air, the course of this world, the spirit of disobedience. What is the spirit of disobedience? It is people on this planet that engage their bodies in seeking to fulfill the desires and lust of the flesh. So that's the spirit of the age. And Paul said, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, this age, has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ should shine unto them. So they're blind, they're lost, and he deceives them because he's the prince of the power of the age with everything in the world that would allure us, like those that are blind, to using our bodies in the pursuit of personal fulfillment rather than what? Presenting your bodies a living sacrifice, set apart, sanctified, consecrated, surrendered wholly to God. But what does it mean to be transformed? The negative is not be conformed, but to be transformed is to renew the mind so that we prove the will of God. See, sometimes we think of transformation as just tell me what to do. Give me the four steps of this, the five ways of this, or the seven principles of that, and I'll go do it. Well, you'll never do it until first your mind is transformed. See, we shouldn't do anything until the mind is transformed. Or as Brother Titus told us, theology that leads to doxology, that renews the mind, that transforms the inner thoughts of man, so that then we yield our bodies, plural, as a living sacrifice in unified service to God, as we find in Romans chapter 12. The renewed mind. You say, well, I know theology. Paul said, if you know theology that does not produce love to your wife, you don't know anything as you ought. If you know something about God and it doesn't produce love to your husband, you don't know anything as you ought, 1 Corinthians chapter 8. If you know something about God and it doesn't produce love to your children or your family or to one another, you don't know anything, Paul says, as you ought. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. So if we just know theology, if we know it in such a way that we have a lot of facts in our minds and brains, then the mind is not renewed through that knowledge. It's just knowledge that puffs up and serves self. But the knowledge of God, the aim of renewing is to produce love, the love we find beginning in verse 3 of this chapter. So a renewed mind is transforming so that it leads to new actions and behaviors in your relationships of service to one another. Now, with this renewed mind, Paul would say, this is the means whereby you prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So without it, without a renewed mind, we may know the will of God, but we don't bring our bodies into the service of God. We may know things about God, but we never bring our bodies surrendered to God, conforming to what is excellent, that's good, well-pleasing, that's acceptable, and perfect, that is which nothing is lacking. You see, to yield your body as a living sacrifice, you've got to sacrifice your own will on the altar of God, right? That's the conflict we have, beloved. It's what I want to do with my body, in my mind, in my heart, or what God demands by His mercies that we do with our bodies that He purchased with His own blood. The key is a renewed mind so that we can see or prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect concerning God's will, or we'll never engage in this unified service of love in a singular sacrifice for God's glory. The word prove has two nuances. It means to test, examine, scrutinize, and then it means to approve of something. And really both expressions are found in this one word. To prove, to test something. For example, just north of us, the Toyota plant makes the Tacoma truck engine. Now, if you worked on that process, you could test the engine. You could put it together. You could test it with the standards or quality assurance manual that you have. And at the end of the process, you could say, that's it. Test it. Works. Good. But if you're a Chevy man, you want nothing to do with that engine. No matter how good it is, no matter how nice it drives. If you're a Chevy man, you tested it, but you never approved of the engine. You know why? You'll never drive it. Talk about it all you want. Tell us all the qualities and good things about the engineering. If you're a Chevy man, and I guess you could say a Ford or whatever man you are, or woman, you would say, you couldn't give me that truck. I'll stick with my Chevy or my Ford. A renewed mind is not just a testing of God's word and will. It's an approving of it so that you see it as excellent, well-pleasing, and something that has nothing lacking in it. So that you embrace it with the heart. Not just see it. I see it's the will of God. We've done that. I see what God wants. What's the problem? Well, I'm a Chevy man. Or I'd rather do this with my body. Or I'd rather take my body elsewhere and do this. This is the problem with depravity in Romans 1:28, where Paul says, for even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. The word like is the word prove is the word approve. It's the same Greek word. They know something about God. They have some theology, as Brother Titus told us. You can't like to retain something you don't have. So they know God, Romans 1 says, but they don't approve of God, which leads them to a life of debauchery, a life that is with an unfit, reprobate mind. See, they don't approve of God. So they're being filled with unrighteousness and all kinds of vices, Romans 1 tells us. To be filled means to be controlled. Now, the opposite of that is a mind that's continually renewed, refreshed, re-strengthened by the Word of God so that we approve, we test, and we see the value of God's Word, like the old gold miner would bite on the gold coin, and if it left an indent, it was genuine. If there was no indent, it was fake gold. Now imagine biting on the coin, seeing the indent, and casting it away. The test has been performed. I see that it's gold, but it's not excellent. It's not well-pleasing. There's something lacking. But Paul says, when we're not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of the mind, what's happening is that we're proving and seeing and approving what is excellent and well-pleasing and complete about the will of God. And then Paul says, for I say through grace. And now, the next four chapters are permeated with ways in which God expects you to use your mind, your heart, and yes, your body. Because that's what houses your will. That's what's housing your affections. Your body's what houses your heart and your soul. And so he starts in the inside, moves to the outside, so that our bodies now are moving out in a singular sacrifice together as Heritage Church, as we all bring our bodies again and again to the service of God alone, by theology, doxology, and then unified service. May God bless you. What's your selection, brother?